Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We're back with more of The Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Always a treat. Thursdays at 11. Elliot Friedman joining the Instigators here on WGR 550 and MSG. And if you're tuning in, it sounds like it's a regular joke every week, but I'm going to find a new one for it. Hair still in place after the Jack Eichel presser.
Yeah, it's going to take a lot more to knock my hair out than that, I have to tell you.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I guess maybe it's been such a long time since I've seen a season-ending press conference like that.
Yes, that's
here in Buffalo, and maybe even in the NHL. Have we seen one in the NHL quite as? It was pretty polarizing. What we watched the other day.
It's been a pretty wild couple of weeks when you think about the Rangers statement and then this. It's definitely things that we're not used to. You know, I was actually talking about this with someone, Andrew and Craig, that, you know, now in the social media world, people air their grievances publicly. Maybe this is just the world as it is coming to the NHL.
Well, I'd rather leave that private. Not just that, but just everything private. I try to be private, but nothing's ever private, Elliot.
Well, generally, I prefer to do my business privately too. But for us old fogies, we better get used to it, because the world now is you air your grievances publicly and see where they go.
And there are tattletales everywhere. There are tattletales on Twitter. I mean, it's unbelievable. Elliot Friedman joining us here. So what can you tell us? Has anything new transpired in the last couple of days since Jack has addressed the media to now, maybe in terms of the procedure with his neck, because we are now a few days removed from that and they were right near the month timetable that they were on to begin with?
It's not a month. Kevin Adams said yesterday it's 12 weeks, but I believe that I'm under the impression that window ends May 30th. So we've got 2.5 weeks to sort that out. But I think what the problem is that where the miscommunication is, and I think it came to a head in his exit interview. It sounds like Eichel made it clear he still wants to do the procedure and the Sabres are still not comfortable with that. And so what happens in 2.5 weeks when we get there? And the other thing that's the concern here, guys, is that, so I've been doing a lot of research into what this is and the cervical disc replacement and what it means. And one of the MMA fighters who had it recently, he was told by his doctor it would be a 3-month recovery. He's doing cardio now, but to really be able to do what you need to do, it's about 3 months. And if you look at it, 3 months at the beginning of June, that's June, July, August, you know, training camp next year starts September 22nd. Eichel's going to want to do it as quick as possible so he can start training for next season, right? Especially if he's going to be somewhere else. And, you know, I don't know what the answer is here. I don't know if you guys listened to the Adam Zoom yesterday, but at the end of it, I asked him, I said, you know, the way that I read the CBA, you guys have the final say here. And he wouldn't really go there. He said, look, we still have some time here, and I want to wait until we go through that before I answer that question. But it sure sounds to me like Eichel believes that the Sabres have that. I mean, you can grieve anything, you can appeal anything, but the way I read the CBA, and I will say this, other agents and teams I asked to have the CBA interpret the CBA for me, they agreed with that. It looks like the Sabres have the hammer.
Elliot Freeman joining us here. Craig, if you have a question, fire away.
I would just like to follow up on that next phase. We have a couple weeks here, 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks until the end of that 12-week period of healing. It'd be interesting to know, you know, where is Jack's neck at now? And this is 2.5 months later. Where is the neck at now? Are they seeing signs of progress? Are they seeing signs that the rehab that they're doing for the neck, are they seeing positive signs, or is it somewhat staying the same? And if it is staying the same, then at the 12-week mark, what is the next course of action now?
It's impossible for me to answer that fully, Craig. I'd like to give you a better answer than that. The best I can tell you is that Eichel still believes that he needs the procedure, and the Sabres aren't comfortable with the procedure. I don't know if the Sabres believe that the rest is enough. I don't know that. What I do know is that they're not comfortable with what Eichel is thinking about doing. And this is where the complication really comes. I couldn't confirm who Eichel is working with on this, but I believe I have some idea. I'm not going to mention the names because I don't know if I'm right, but if it's the people I've heard of, they're elite. Like, they are elite. And you would think that a guy who's got $50 million left on his contract would be with the best. However, what the Sabres issue is here is that there's just no history of this in the NHL. As a matter of fact, there's not a deep history of elite level athletes in general coming back from this. This is something that has really improved quality of life in a lot of people, especially in Europe, but more and more now in the United States, but they haven't been tested on that level. Like I wrote, there's two MMA fighters I know of who've had it. One of them fought 3 times since having it, and Chris Weidman's his name. He does a testimonial about it. There's a video of it. You can find it online. And he got hurt last month, but it wasn't a neck injury. The other thing too is that, like I said, it's the Johns Hopkins is a pretty well-known medical website. They speak pretty positively about it, but they also admit there just isn't a lot known. And I just think the Sabres have decided here, or at least have said right now, like, we're not really comfortable with Jack Eichel being quote unquote the test subject for this.
The next course of action though? 2 weeks happens. The disc is still, a situation with it. You know, Jack Eichel wants to go to the extreme and have this disc replacement that's never been done on an NHL player before. Where do the Sabres go from where they currently, if they see somewhat the same diagnosis with Jack's neck, where do they go? What's the in-between here?
Can I add to that, Elliot? Yeah, Can I add to that? Because that's a great question. I just want to add to that. And I just want to know on top of that, is there another procedure that Jack could have that you might know of?
Well, the way that this was treated for a long time were things like spinal fusions, but they take a lot longer to recover from. Peyton Manning had a pretty significant process, but it takes a lot. And Peyton Manning came back and was the MVP after he had this process. But they take a lot longer to recover from. And I think that one of the reasons Eichel is interested in this particular process is that it doesn't take as long to recover from. He could be ready to play at the beginning of next year. I mean, he wants to play. He wants to get back into he wants to get back into health, and he wants to be ready for the beginning of next year. So I think there's a couple of things here. I think, first of all, it should be pointed out that Connor McDavid did very unconventional things with his knee. And look, how he came back. I remember Sidney Crosby went to a chiropractor for his concussion, and we did a story about this chiropractor for Hockey Night in Canada. And I took a lot of criticism for the medical community for giving this particular guy a voice. Like, people really were upset at me about it.
Was he the guy that was doing the procedure through the mouth?
No, this was the guy in Atlanta who put him in the chamber that kind of flipped him around.
Sure, yeah.
And I'm sorry, I don't have his name in front of me. I would tell you. But it turned out that that really worked for Crosby. So, and the thing is, like I said, these guys who Eichel really trusts. So where do I think this goes? Well, I think one possibility is it becomes another team's decision. I think another possibility is, you know, someone said to me, what happens if Jack Eichel just says, I don't care what you guys say, I'm doing the surgery? I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is to that. But I really do wonder if the end result here, like, okay, I'm going to ask you two guys. You're there in Buffalo. Do you think Jack Eichel's getting traded?
Yes.
Then I think the simplest answer here is it becomes another team's decision.
What team is going to trade for Jack Eichel?
Well, first of all,
this neck issue.
In this condition, is he even tradable?
Yes. Yes, he is.
He is. Do you know that for a fact?
I think so. I think he is. Now, does it make it more
complicated? That changes everything for me then.
Does it make it more complicated? Yes, I think it does.
It take away from the get?
It could. It could. Well, you know what's going to happen there, Craig, is that, and you know these teams, there's a line I like to use. When you're drowning as a GM in the NHL, they don't throw you a life preserver. They throw you an anvil so you can drown more.
Yep.
You know, I think that what happens is it makes it more complicated. I think teams will try to use that against Buffalo and say, well, we really don't know. But the bottom line is here is that anybody who's going to trade for Eichel is going to work with him to get. And maybe what happens is, and I want to stress, like, this is just me talking. I don't know if this happens, but will a team trade for Eichel, say, Jack, get something more normal done, and we can wait for you until, I don't know, January. I don't know if that happens. I'm just spitballing all the different ideas. The draft lottery is June 2nd. We'll know who's drafting where that's out of the thing. And I just wonder if, you know, that's when it starts to pick up. I think at the end of the day, this is going to be another team's decision. The fact that Kevin Adams kind of punted that yesterday, I'm not reporting it.
And here's the thing. I don't think that Kevin Adams wants or is going to be pushed into a position to have to trade Jack. There's a full year before Jack's, you know, no movement clause kicks in. There's a full year from now. As much as you're going to have to deal with Jack to make sure he's healthy and whatever timeline that's going to be, I think Kevin Adams is not going to be stressed and pushed into a situation where he's going to take less for Jack Eichel.
But I don't know if he's going to have to. How do you maximize a trade asset when you have trade leverage, right? Like, I don't deny that this is complicated. It is complicated, but I think there's going to be a lot of interest in him.
Is it going to be a bigger deal?
Tremendous, like, amount.
Do you think there's a bigger deal here, Elliot, involved? And you know, you we're speculating because we're just spitballing, right?
Yeah.
So do you have a team that you think would trade?
You have five teams that stick out to you right now?
Top of my head, I do. Some teams who I think can do it more than others. But I definitely see it.
Teams that you think would trade for Jack injured?
Yes. Because the thing is, whoever's going to trade for Jack Eichel is going to be able to communicate with him about, they're going to see the medicals. They're going to talk to him about the process. Like, nobody is trading for him without having an idea. And it's in the Sabres' best interest to allow other teams to talk to Eichel about this.
No question.
Okay. So this trade is not being made blind. Well, if anybody makes this trade blind, they're insane. But this trade is not going to be made blind. The Sabres are going to allow people to talk to, if they're serious, they're going to allow people to talk to Eichel. Five teams off the top, I could probably give you more than that. I think for sure the Rangers are there. You know the guy at the top of the Rangers. And you also know that the guy at the top of the Rangers was represented by the same guys who represent Eichel. They can work together on this. I think Anaheim's there. I think Columbus is there. I think Philly is there. I guarantee to you that there are teams that we can't, don't even think of that are there. Boston would be there. I'm not sure they can do it. Ottawa could do it, but I'm not sure they're there. I wonder about Montreal. I wonder about someone like St. Louis. Like all of these teams.
Some of those teams don't, in my opinion, this is my opinion, don't have a shot at Jack. Cause I don't
Who's
think
that,
well, I don't know. I'm not going to say them just yet.
Why not? Like, first, I agree. I don't think Boston has enough.
I don't think they have enough.
Okay. But look, the Rangers are interested. They would be interested. They have enough.
For sure.
LA.
LA, I don't know how interested they are or not, but they have enough. Anaheim, interested, enough. Okay.
Calgary? Philly,
does Calgary have enough?
Starts with Matt Tkachuk.
Okay. But I think Calgary would be interested. Do they have enough? Philly, I think, would be interested. And I think they've got pieces. Okay. So, like, I think there's a lot of teams. Like, Montreal, to me, would be a fascinating wild card. Like, Ottawa has enough. I don't think they're interested. Okay.
How uneasy do you think Kevin Adams would be trading within the division or, for that matter, the conference?
I think he would rather trade Eichel to Mars than the Rangers. But if they give you the best offer, then you have to do what's best for yourself. Like, to me, yeah, like, you know, I understand this whole thing. We don't want Eichel showing up here. The other thing, too, is if the division schedule, because you guys and the Rangers aren't in the same division. Remember I mentioned a couple weeks ago that you could end up playing home and home with the other three divisions? If he goes to the Rangers, you only have to see him twice a year, if that system works. Now, he's still pretty close. I understand that Buffalo and New York aren't too far away from each other. But at the end of the day, like, don't you have to make the best trade? And if the Rangers give you the best deal, isn't it incumbent on your team to do it?
100%.
Yeah, Drury owes us a favor, too.
I don't care about Jack Eichel and where he goes. I'm worried about what I get back. Don't worry about what all the other teams. We're going to worry about Sidney Crosby and everybody. You got to worry about yourself. You're worried about making your own team and bringing in the pieces that are going to make you better.
Yep. I agree.
Elliot Friedman joining us here, as he always does, Thursday at 11 o'clock. And, you know, we're a lot of Jack Eichel talk, obviously. He's a superstar player in the NHL. And when these conversations are going on any other team, they're being talked about in every other town because Jack Eichel is a huge name when it comes to hockey. There are other big names, though, on the Sabres. And I also want to get to Don Granato because Don Granato impressed us all.
I got to say, that was as impressive as an exit interview. As tough as Eichel's and Reinhardt's maybe were, I thought Granato was spectacular. I was riveted to that call yesterday. I the part where
front runner for you. Go ahead. Sorry, finish your point.
Well, you know what? First of all, Cousins did you guys a huge favor. That was big. And then I thought Granato did. Like, the one thing that really stood out to me was when, you know, one of the reporters, I don't remember who it was, asked Granato, "Hey, like, these guys look miserable, basically." And he said, "Well, you guys see that because they don't want to answer the questions, and they get the same questions all the time. What I see is a bunch of guys who are excited to come play hockey, right?" I thought that was, like, to me, when it comes to negativity, the key is flipping the script. How do you flip the script? How do you get out of the negative cyclone?
And I've been trying with Craig for 5 years, Elliot.
And I listened to that answer, and I thought it was fantastic. I was so impressed. And, you know, I was really impressed with Granato yesterday. I really was.
He just seems to have a pulse with the players. Like, I still to this, like, I mean, I'm a fan. I watch every single Sabres game. I watched this team play under Ralph Krueger. And I'm going to tell you this. I really like Ralph Krueger as a person and how he spoke. And, you know, so obviously some tough times that this team went through. But I cannot believe the difference in attitude, in confidence, in the way that this team played when there was a coaching change. And they were on an 18-game losing streak.
Yeah.
And Don Granato somehow, and I mean somehow, gained confidence with these players, and they played a different brand of hockey. We did not have our number one goaltender. We didn't have Jack Eichel. We had guys in and out of the lineup hurt. And these young players, this future that we talk about in Cousins and Mittelstadt. Mittelstadt was gone to an island. We were sending him so far away because we were done with him. And now all of a sudden, everybody's like, whoa, this is an eighth overall pick. He's not too bad. He was given an opportunity. Tage Thompson, Rasmus Dahlin, Joakim Harju. What happened to these guys that Don Granato...
Sam Reinhardt at center. Did you mention him?
Sam Reinhardt.
Yeah, 25 goals, 10th in the league.
Yep.
You know, Sam Reinhardt at center excelled under Don Granato. And that's another guy I want to ask you about. What's the future? And I don't know if you've heard I was not going to give this any time on our show today, Elliot, but because you're on and we're talking about it, I just think it's childish because these could be games, but there's a rumor out there that Sam unfollowed the Sabres on Instagram and then he refollowed them. Apparently, like, you know, all that stuff. That's the kind
that happened with Max Domi and
but he admitted he did it as a joke. Like he did it, I think, to screw with people's heads, which clearly players can do at the flick like, of a switch on social media.
Well, I know one thing that happened was, like, I remember a few years ago, Steven Stamkos,
liked a tweet
and he the Lightning called. I think Yzerman asked him about it. He just said, look, it was a total accident. I was looking at the tweet and I hit the
have box. You ever scrolled through with your and you hit the middle of the thing and you like something and I'm like, why did I just like that? Like, you're
now, could it be something more than that? Sure, I guess it could be, but I just don't know. Like, look, guys, like, you guys played, like, it's best for the Sabres. Reinhardt, he's 6 years. He's tired. Risto, I can't believe I'm calling him Risto. 8 years, he's tired. Eichel, he's tired. You know, it's clear.
You know who's not tired though?
Who?
Dahlin, Cousins. Yeah,
but those Joakim guys are young. Harju, that's right.
Samuelson. Yeah. But that's what I'm saying guy. Though.
Yes.
You got a whole lot of tired guys.
If I'm the Sabres, like, you've got to make a good deal. But if I'm the Sabres, I am saying we have to start this again. I'm moving out. And oh boy, like, I know Sabres fans, like, there's no group of fans I love more in the National Hockey League than the Buffalo Sabres fans. Yeah. I know you guys are listening to this and saying, oh, like, we don't need to hear this, but
it's can it's, I say something
you
else?
You have to do I think you have to do it.
How about this? How about them just coming out and saying, you know what? We screwed up. We're going to own it. We screwed this up and we are going to build because we do have great players. Dylan Cousins, Mittelstadt, Thompson, Dahlin, Joakim Harju, Borgen, Matias Samuelson. We've got a lot of, we're going to be picking in the top three of the
Jack
NHL
Quinn from last year.
Jack Quinn is in the minors, just honing the skills. We've got a lot of positive, but you look at what we could get for Jack. You look what we're going to get for Reinhardt. You look what you get. These are organizational changing pieces that you're going to be bringing in to an already extremely young, talented group. I don't have a problem with it. I think it's a great idea.
I don't either in theory. Here's the problem I have in practice, and this is where I think the Sabres kind of have to figure it out, Craig, is that they thought they were doing this with the Eichel Reinhardt group, right?
Yeah.
And it didn't work. So I think what you have to do is an honest appraisal. Like, I'm talking brutally honest appraisal of why that didn't work and how you are going to have to change that. Because that's the concern to me, guys, is that you were here 4 or 5 years ago. You had Eichel, you had Reinhardt, you had this group, and you were like, they're going to be great. And look where we are 5 years later. So how are you going to make sure that doesn't happen to the Cousins, Dahlin, Jukka Harju, Tage Thompson group? That to me is the most important question the Buffalo Sabres have to answer.
You've said some fascinating stuff here, Elliot, and our time has run out, and I know we've talked a lot of Sabres, but I will just go quickly off script here from Buffalo Sabres to your interview with Shane Wright.
And he's good, eh?
Oh, man, I like that you called him out when he said, I watch all hockey. And I just was thinking, you know, this kid is perfect. He's already playing the role, but he was a great interview. And I thought what shocked me most about him was his, and when he said Spezza and the reasons why he said Spezza, I'm thinking to myself, this guy sees things differently.
Yes.
When he and analyzes a player that he wants to take things from. And yeah. I thought Spezza was an incredible person to gauge off of what he was saying.
Yeah, I was really blown. You expect people to be practiced and prepared, and younger people are better practiced and prepared for life than we were when we were his age. But still, I was blown away by that guy. I really was.
But you know what? He's been in the limelight.
Yeah.
For a very, very long time.
Yeah.
And he's the kid that people had been saying since he was 9 years old, 10 years old, when he was shredding at all these tournaments in Toronto and everywhere else, that, you know, he's the next thing. And we're like, the kid's 10, take a deep breath, you know? And he is, well, far beyond his years, mentally, physically, you know, he is going to be, whoever gets this kid, I'm going to tell you, whoever gets this kid, the organization is going to skyrocket.
Short drive from Burlington for his parents, guys.
Incredible. Incredible player.
Well, that's incredible next kid. Year, Elliot. Do you know what you have to go through for another year to get him?
Yeah, I know. I'm just, yeah.
No. But I mean, listen. I mean, if you're trading away all those pieces, it might be inevitable anyway, maybe, right? You never know. But I will say this, June 2nd is what?
Draft lottery.
Yes. So with that, Elliot, we're going to leave. We're going to do the draft simulator before you go here. You ready? Okay. Here you go. One time.
Don't do it, Petey.
Come on.
Don't do it.
I'm yet to win. Seattle getting first, Vancouver second, and Buffalo third. So, Elliot, on that note.
I hope you're not the one who's pressing the button on June 2nd because your luck is terrible.
Yeah,
exactly. You know what? I hope that the pick's already predetermined. to be honest with you, there's been a few years here where I've kind of hoped that, you know, if it's rigged, then it's perfect because I'm all in favor of that for the Sabres' benefit. Elliot, thank you very much for your time. Fantastic. He said something very fascinating. We'll touch on what that was. I don't want to give it away right now, and we'll talk about it more in the next segment. Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you
you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
With more of the Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
All right, welcome back, Instigators. Thank you, Elliot Friedman. Always fantastic here, Thursdays at 11 o'clock. If you don't follow him on Twitter, you should. He's, his Twitter handle is whatever it is, but he's Elliot Friedman. He's got the blue check mark. So it's at Fried, G-E-H-N-I-C. But just type in Elliot Friedman and with the blue check mark and you'll know it's him. Tomorrow on the show, we have another insider, Darren Dreger at 11 as well. Marty will be with us. And a lot could change. And Craig, I know you love to prepare. And I sent Craig on a little bit of a wild goose chase here right before the segment because he always likes to make sure he's prepared. And I was telling Jeff, I said, it's fascinating what Elliot said there. Fascinating. He's like, what road is it? What he said that I think changed my mind again. I am a roller coaster on if Jack's here next year or Jack's not here next year. Okay. And it's all circumstantial. I want to make that clear. It's all circumstantial. But Elliot said he believes it's going to be another team's decision. Possibly could be another team's decision on the procedure Jack has on his neck, which means it goes back and answers the question that I was asking the whole show. Is Jack tradable in his current condition? And Elliot Friedman seems to feel that he is tradable and that teams are very interested or could see teams being very interested in Jack Eichel in his current state. Were you surprised by that, Riv? That leads me to believe that there's zero doubt that Jack has moved in the offseason. Because the only thing holding up a trade for Jack Eichel for me was whether or not there were suitors with the injury as is. Maybe there's a team out there that's totally fine with the
I was definitely taken back when Elliot spoke about it's for someone else to deal with, another team to deal with. And the question is that we asked Elliot, can you trade Jack even though he is injured in this certain state? And he's like, absolutely. If the medical people from that other team feel very comfortable with the situation that Jack wants, then this is a done deal. I mean, they will trade Jack. But it's
he mentioned a number of teams, Riv. He mentioned a number of teams. I mean, he tossed in Anaheim, who I never thought of.
I never thought of Anaheim.
Obviously Boston.
We didn't talk about Minnesota, which I think would be a landing spot. LA could be a landing spot.
I never
Calgary
thought about Montreal.
Spot. Columbus Blue Jackets, 100% could be a spot. Philadelphia, definitely. Boston, we know the ties with Jack being a Boston kid. Montreal, St. Louis. I mean, you have to understand, if Jack Eichel is on the market, you are going to have a whole bunch of teams trying to restructure their team to get a hold of Jack. There's no question.
Which I'm not surprised by.
Nope.
But after Monday and the stance of his injury, I was surprised by. I was surprised by. That's why I used the word, and Jeff used the word too, fascinating. That, because I think that's the whole question. It's not whether he is coming back. It's when can they trade him and when do they trade him? That's what I think the question is. And I believe me when I say I believe the Sabres are only going to consider trading Jack Eichel because he's an exceptional talent, which doesn't make sense, but you should be getting an exceptional return. Now, I know a lot of people are comparing the Ryan O'Reilly trade. And at the time, that deal looked good. It did. Mm-hmm. It looked good. I mean, there isn't a person out there when they heard four pieces and a first-round pick, right? Three pieces and a first. You got Tage. You got the two guys that aren't here anymore. You got the first-round pick who's now Ryan Johnson, right?
Yep.
That, right? And at the time, everybody's thinking that's a good trade for Ryan O'Reilly. Okay, doesn't want to be here. Maybe we weren't exactly sure what we had exactly in that player because the team was bad, right? Yep. So now you're in a situation with a more elite player and you're not going to get burned again the way you did with Ryan O'Reilly. And that's why there's reason for me to believe that your team doesn't have Jack Eichel on its roster next year. Simple as that. Because of the fact that you can take $10 million off your payroll, and you're going to be taking on some money, but you're going to be also taking on what I'm expecting to be three young prospects that are like, for instance, Riv, if we're talking the Rangers, don't mention a trade without Lafreniere, Keandre Miller, and at least a first round pick. Yep. For openers. And that's not even going to be enough, I don't think.
Yep. Quinton Byfield, Alex Turcotte, first round draft pick. They're picking what?
Someone said, how are you going to sell tickets for this team next year? And I'm saying, well, you get Lafreniere and Keandre Miller in a first, or you get Byfield and Turcotte and or Velarde or something. Like,
Oh, that's the stupidest thing
I don't understand.
Ever heard in my entire life.
You will be putting four. If you trade Sam Reinhart as well, you could be putting at least four top-tier young prospects in your lineup. Not prospects.
These guys are young
top-tier
prospects.
Young,
we're talking
young players. Young NHL players. High-end young NHL players.
There's no question about it. No question. I mean, it's so exciting. I feel more excitement. And this is just, and I don't know. You know, I just want to speak my mind on this show. For me, I just think that we've seen enough of the Jack Eichel. Like, Jack Eichel's so good. Like, he's an incredible talent, but it has not worked here. And everybody has to sit back and realize, and you know, Kevin Adams, the GM, is going to look into saying, why has it not worked in 6 years? What is the reason why it's not worked? Have they not had enough talent? Have they not had enough this, that? What happens behind the scenes? What happens away from the rink? How are they training? How are they taking care of themselves? There's a lot that needs to go into the overall looking at why this team has struggled. And those questions will be answered. And in what direction the team wants to go. You know, Sam Reinhart.
Be answered with the people that want to be here. Circles back to the quote that we highlighted yesterday.
You got Sam Reinhart that's sitting there talking to our media, and he has such hate and disdain for some of our media members that he won't even answer their questions. That's an issue. That's a problem. He's frustrated.
That's a two-way street. Partly Sam. That's the media, and that's Sam, and that's it's a two-way street.
I get that. I understand that. But these guys are professionals, but you can see the difference in the conversation with Jack Eichel, Sam Reinhart.
Yes.
Than what it was with Rasmus Dahlin and you know, Dylan Cousins. There's a different vibe. You know, you want people that want to be here. You want to build something great here. And I'm going to tell you this, Buffalo.
Dylan Cousins seems excited about the future, yes. And Jack, Sam, and Risto seem frustrated about. They all seem frustrated about the past.
Exactly,
and that's what Kevin. That basically summarizes Kevin Adams' point to me. Is and that's why that quote stood out so much yesterday. Is with people who want to be here. It's a generic statement. I mean, anybody who owns any business is going to want to hire people who want to be there. But when you're talking about the most elite of your elite players, that's what makes it, because those are the players we're talking about that don't want to be here, that want a change of scenery or need to, whatever. Yeah. Change of scenery. Right.
Yep.
That's why that quote for me yesterday was so significant, because we know where that was directed. I know where that was directed. So that's the direction you should go. Use those players that can bring you in a lot to go get some young players that'll have some enthusiasm, some excitement. They all have something to drive toward too. There's going to be there's so much available. Not like there's ice time available. You move those players. There's leadership roles available. You got a C and an A available. I mean, there are so many.
You have a C, an A, and an A.
And an A. You have, yes.
And apparently... Yes. That group has not forged the proper path for the players that are behind them.
That's why if Jack goes to LA and you need to take money in, I really wouldn't mind seeing them bring back Dustin Brown. I know probably it would be hard for him to swallow for a year, but that's exactly what these young guys need. I know we said that about Eric Staal, but I think he was just in a different situation in his life. We'll be right back. Final segment of the Instigators today. Tomorrow, Darren Dreger at 11. He's bumped up to 11 o'clock, which gives us an extra 10, 15 more minutes with him. A lot more fun conversation. And Marty will be with us as well. Stick around. Final segment of the Instigators coming up here at WGR 550 and MSG.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
We're back with more of the Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome back. Final segment for today. Tomorrow, Darren Dreger will join us at 11. We'll have Marty with us for the entirety of the show. And I'll just go back to what I said yesterday. Before even Kevin Adams spoke, and Riv, I'll let you take the floor here. I just, not an easy job yesterday, what he had to do. And I think the GM of a pro sports team is the ultimate dream job for guys like us, former pro athletes, pro hockey players, whatever sport you're in. Yesterday was not an easy day. I thought he did a great job. I thought coming out of the gate hard with answering the questions about the medical situation and the disconnect between Jack and the team. But all in all, I mean, I don't envy the job he has to do this off season, Craig. I mean, he's got some really tough decisions to make with players that when they move on, now you're going to get pieces that will help you, but when they move on, you know, they'll help other teams.
Yep. That's the way it goes. Don't worry about what that other player does for another team. You worry about what you're bringing in. Feel comfortable about what you're bringing in. Feel comfortable about building something with players that want to be here, that truly want to be a Buffalo Sabre. And I'm going to tell you right now, you said this at the break, you know, if there is a change, and we're all not saying that it's going to happen, but if there is a change where, you know, we do have a really young group of kids that start to grow, those young players are going to love Buffalo. They're going to love this city. You remember when you in, you know, 05, 06 with all those young guys, whether it was Derek Roy, Vanek, you know, Pominville, Stafford,
all the misery for those guys was actually going to the rink. They loved playing here.
They loved it. They loved it. Yeah. The environment was great. And you guys built something great through all of those young guys who in the lockout year all went to the minors, right? All played together. And then everybody, almost that whole team moved up. And then you added Danny Briere and a Chris Jury in there. And all of a sudden you're thinking to yourself, it's a damn good team. But it started with all those young guys and the building of those young guys. And I just think that you listen to Dylan Cousins and having him speak. He wants to wear this crest. He wants to be a Buffalo Sabre and he wants to find a solution and he wants to make it work. And that's what you want.
I absolutely agree with all of that. I appreciate you acknowledging that point. Cause I truly believe if you need to get these young players here that you want to bring in, like I said to you, Rib, you trade your Jack, you trade your Sam, you trade your Risto, you bring in some good young players that are already elite players in the league and they grow together here, they're going to love playing here. Buffalo is an amazing place to play. I know in the last 10 years, it has sucked. I know it has, but I can tell you that obviously everywhere is good when times are good, but when you're working hard and you're having success and you're winning games and you're trending in the right direction, this fan base will jump on and they will follow you and support you. From 03 at the end of the year when we had a great run and almost made the playoffs right through to the end of 07. Absolutely incredible the vibes that these young kids will feel here when they get into it. We got to go. Instigators are out. We're back tomorrow, as I mentioned. Darren Dreger at 11. One Bills Live next. Riv, you're fantastic today. Like, I mean fantastic.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, you got it. WGR 550 and MSG. One Bills Live next.